Well, good to see y'all this morning. I want to start off telling you how I appreciate you coming out. And I realize that this is very unusual. And I've taught this series before, and it's always been on a series of five nights. And we're going to do it all in one day. I think in some ways that's special because it required a sacrifice for all of you to be here. I know that. As Christians, you know, if you don't work on Saturdays, that's really your only day off. And, you know, that's the way it ought to be. The Lord's day is on Sunday. So I know you had to sacrifice. And I do know that God blesses sacrifice and He uses it. And my prayer is that you'll get some help for your lives today. And if you will, just turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 24. Proverbs chapter number 24. I'll go ahead and get started. I like to tell everybody today that, first of all, that while you're turning, that I know you're human. We all are. We all get tired. We're going to have breaks on this. I'm going to give us time to take a few minutes off and try to make it as easy as we possibly can. So, Proverbs chapter number 24. Let's stand and honor the reading of the Word of God, this first couple of verses. The Bible says in verse number 3, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled. I'd like to say you're here to get that knowledge that the Word of God is talking about, that your chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You today, dear God, for what You're going to do here, Lord. I'm thankful for Your precious Word, Heavenly Father. I pray today, Heavenly Father, You give me wisdom, Heavenly Father, as I teach or preach whatever You have me to do today, Lord. I pray, God, You direct these thoughts and these Scriptures, God, to our hearts, Heavenly Father. Help us realize, Heavenly Father, where our help comes from, God. It comes from You, God. It doesn't come from the world, neither the things of the world, God, but straight from You, Lord. I pray, Heavenly Father, God, You give me physical strength today, dear Lord. God, You touch my body, God. Most of all, God, You touch my spirit and my heart, Lord. May these people see my heart, God, that You've given me for this class today, dear Lord. I pray You'd open it up, God. I pray, God, anything that would hinder today, God, I pray You'd remove it. I pray You'd hedge this place in today, God, and I plead the precious blood of Jesus on this service today, dear Lord. On these homes, God, I pray You'd hedge them in and help them, Lord. I thank You, God, for everything You've done, Lord. Most of all, everything You're going to do, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I've entitled this whole teaching, Constructing a New Home for God's Glory. And I want to touch a little bit on this thought for God's glory. And I want every one of you to realize I see a few new Christians in here. And I want you to know that God saved you for His glory. He didn't save you just to give you a home in heaven because it was something you deserved. He saved you to get glory out of you. Now, God, there's a lot of reasons God instituted marriage, but I really believe that God intends to get glory from your marriage. God intends your marriage to be a blessing to each other where you can be the kind of person that would bring glory unto God. And there's several things that God has laid on my heart in several years now that I've been teaching and preaching on this subject. And God's put together a lot of Scripture and He's put together a lot of thoughts and He's had me go through a lot of experiences where I might be a blessing to others. And I pray You'd open up your heart this morning. I want to say something to you couples individually first before we ever get started. It's very important. And you must do this. You must apply this for this to really help you in your home. I want you to realize that this is not a husband and wife bashing session. Now, there'll be times you'll be tempted to turn to the other one and look upon them. Or you'll be tempted to lay blame on the other one. And it's a fleshly thing and it's a natural thing. But I want you to realize that this is for you this morning. It's not for you to blast the other one because I think both of you are going to be able to turn to the other one and both of you are going to find out that we all fall short. And me included this morning. I don't have all the answers. All the answers are not in this teaching, but I honestly believe there's some things in here that will help you if you'll apply them. But you got to remember, you can apply them to yourself. You know, you've got control over one person in this world, really, and that's you. That's it. A lot of us spend so much time trying to change the other one that we won't spend time letting the Holy Ghost trying to change us as individuals. And that's what God intends for us, to put it on ourselves. First of all, I want to run this teaching parallel with that of constructing a new home. You know, before, I know in Georgia, I don't know how it is over in Alabama, but in Georgia, the first thing you got to do is pay a bunch of money and get a permit to build a home. And I will say building is something I know very little about, so some of you guys that know about construction, you're going to laugh at some of the thoughts I've got, but I'm doing the best I can with it. You got to have a permit. And I'd like to say for building this Christian home that this is our permit right here. I hope every one of you got one. And get the right kind of permit, amen, that KJV. I believe that with all my heart. I'm not trying just to be critical of other churches and other people that's got the wrong Bible. I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to be slurry and throw bad thoughts at them. I don't own one of them. Now, I have did study comparisons between why they're wrong. And if you've never studied that out, you need to study it. You need to know why they're wrong. You need to understand that. So you need to have the right permit, first of all. We got to have that. And before we begin construction, there must be a destruction. There's some things you've got to destroy. There's going to be myths and fables in this teaching that you have got to get rid of. There's things you're going to have to tear down, and you can't store them somewhere. You're going to have to carry them off, haul them off, burn them. I mean, get slapped rid of them. There's been things that's been taught over the years that's not true. There's been things that's been left out that's in the Word of God that men have been afraid to preach and teach. And I pray God give me the liberty to do that today. Now, there'll be issues where I'll get real close this morning. Some of you probably going to wonder what my intentions are. Or you maybe going to be afraid that I'm going to go too far. But God's going to be my helper today. I won't cross any lines today. I promise you that. So we need to tear down the old structure. You know, I ain't asking you to tear down everything that you got, but I'm asking you to take this consideration that maybe you don't know everything. Amen? I won't call any names, but I had a particular church member a lot younger than me. He come to me and told me he regretted he couldn't be here, and I understand that. I don't even want to even think about that thought today. But he said, but anyway, I got a good home. But anyway, everything's fine in my house. And he just kept on. I thought, my, bless your heart, young man, you in for a fall. So, you know, we don't need to have that kind of attitude that we know everything, because we really don't. I don't. Every single time I teach this, God illuminates something else in my life and in my home and helps me with it. God help me. And if you get part today where you maybe feel offended at me, and you will a little bit. I believe if I don't do that a little bit, I'm not preaching. You may get a little bit offended at me, Dave, but I'll tell you something that'll help you. I'm my biggest target today. You men, you understand that. When I go to teaching and preaching on you and your subjects today, I am the biggest target. I stand in need of help. I'm not going to stand here and say, I know everything. I don't need anything. Let me tell you something. I listen to all the tapes I can of other preachers on this subject. I don't think I've got it down pat. When my pastor mentions it, boy, I'm all ears. I want to hear what the man's got to say, amen. I don't never want to think I know it all about this subject, amen. So we need to tear down the old structures. Now, you don't have to turn your Bibles. I'm going to read some scriptures, and if you want to turn, that's okay, and I don't blame you. But I've got it written down right here, 2 Corinthians 10, verse number 2. It says, but I beseech you that I may not behold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Listen to this. We fight against each other, and a lot of times we think our problems are our husband, or we think our problems are our wife, and it's not that. The Bible tells us we war not against the flesh. And verse number 4 of that chapter says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
and having in a readiness to avenge all disobedience where your obedience is fulfilled. Now I want to touch right here on this strongholds. There's strongholds in the home that the devil's put there. And we got to understand, first of all, that if the church house is going to get right with God, it must begin in the home. It must begin in each individual home. And we got a couple of churches represented here today. Let me say that it's not Brother Ken or Brother David's job to get your home right. Man, it's you. You're the pastor of your flock, and I want you to realize that. You have got a duty there. And you need to make sure that these strongholds in your home are broken down. And these strongholds sometimes are curses that we don't realize. Now, we have some ways and actions about us as individuals that God bred in us. God meant for us to be that way. I've had people make this comment, well, God, I was just born that way and I'm going to stay that way. You know, and you may be half right. There may be half truth in that. It may be half and half. It could be that God give you a certain type of attitude or maybe a certain way about you to use you in that area. But the problem is with some of us, if we have a real bold approach and maybe God give us a gift of prophecy, instead of us using it for God's good and God's glory, what we'll do is we'll turn it on our own family. We'll turn it on our own husband or we'll turn it on our own wife and we'll use it in them. We'll misdirect it. What we need to do is we need to ask God to help us cast down these things, these strongholds, and where we can take these areas and use them in God's direction. So it could be that where you're strong at, maybe God don't want to do away with that strength. You see what I'm saying? Maybe God wants you to direct that strength in an area to where He can get blessing from it, where He can get glory from it. Sometimes we beat ourselves up because of the way God made us. Sometimes we use that excuse to stay the way we are and we never change. Let me go ahead and let you know one secret. Some of you married the person you married with the intentions you were going to change them. Wrong again. You done messed up. There's something you need to just go ahead and take that thing and wad it up and go, don't just throw it in the trash can. You might dig it back out. Just put a Holy Ghost match to it and burn it up. You're not going to change that person you married. If they got something that needs to be changed about them, it's going to take a thrice holy God to change them. And you're going to beat yourself and run yourself plumb silly trying to change that other one. You're not going to be able to do it. That's God's job. That's not your job to change the other one. Now listen, you're the one that married them, amen? You need to live with it. There's something about them that drives you crazy. I listened to T.D. Jakes on this subject. I finally got his tapes in the mail. The old man, he tickled a fire to me, the way he words things sometimes. And he's talking about some of us, I'll use it for instance. Vicky married Dennis Rawlings. That she's married to me for a little while, she begun to realize that she didn't marry Dennis Rawlings. She married his counterfeit. She married his evil twin. In other words, when we got together, she come to realize what I was really made out of, amen? Now, there were certain things about her that evidently had to attract her to me, or she never would have married me. You know, what she's going to have to do is once that real side comes out, amen, the side that really shows up at the house, she's going to realize she's going to have to live with that thing and she's going to have to focus on those good things or the enemy's going to creep in there and it's going to tear her out of the frame. It's going to turn her against the marriage. It's going to break up our home. It's going to cause confusion with us and then we're going to bring it in the church house. And then do you think the enemy ain't just working on me and her? He's working on every other couple in this house because he don't like what's going on in the house of God. And I'll tell you one thing, it ain't every house of God, but in Liberty Baptist Church and Amazing Grace Baptist Church, the enemy's not happy and he's going to do everything he can to work through your home to tear it down. Amen. You need to realize that. There's some things you're going to have to take and there's some things you're going to have to endure. And you're not really enduring them for the sake of your husband and wife, you're enduring it for God. Amen. I'm trying my best to get away. I'm going to get ahead of myself in a minute. This first section right here is really just to show you the importance of this teaching. And I want you to realize why. You know, and why, Brother Dennis, why do we need to do this? It's for the glory of God. I'll mention that several times. And I'll repeat myself. You know, we need to haul off all the old junk and pile it up and burn it. All the old junk. Everything. And we're going to start off with some new materials if we're going to build a house. I don't know much about construction. Maybe there's been people that's done it before.
I know about fixing up old cars. I worked on cars for 25 years. I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather have a brand new one. I ain't throwing off on nobody who wants to fix up an old car. I tell you one thing. You know what you've got? You just got an old car with makeup on. That's all you got. You work on that thing, work on that thing, have twice as much in if you could have just went and bought you a good used one. Amen. I just thought I had to throw that in there. Amen. Yeah, there you go. I didn't say that. You did. Amen. But, you know, we need to start off with fresh new material. I don't want an old car. I guess I got rent by working on them. I know some people love them. I like to look at them. I don't want to work on them. I don't want to drive one of them. I don't want one that's going to break down. I want something that's going to be foolproof. Amen. So we need to start over with all new materials, and we got to haul off the junk. What kind of junk are you talking about, Brother Dennis? Well, this is three little points right here. There ain't nobody else ever got this teaching because the Holy Ghost revealed it to me this week. Amen. First of all, the junk I want to talk about is suppressed anger. Suppressed anger. Suppressed anger will destroy you. Then it will destroy your home. Suppressed anger. I caught a whole new thought about this thing. I used to think, and sometimes it is, sometimes it's better if you just zip your lip and walk on. But you know, if you continue to zip your lip and zip your lip and zip your lip, you're going to be a ticking time bomb. It's called suppressed anger. We need to get rid of it. And maybe it's anger about something that don't even matter. You need to get rid of it. You need to ask God to help you get rid of it. Maybe it's anger where you need to confront your husband or your wife with it. You need to get an altar and pray somewhere and ask God to help you where you can come together and you can work out this thing. Some of you have been holding within yourself for years suppressed anger. I know couples been married 20 plus years. They've got things inside them that they've never let go of about the other one, and it's killed their marriage. This thing about suppressed anger, you need to take it and throw it away. If it's something that's happened in the past, did you hear me? In the past, I sure am glad God took my past and put it behind His back. My Bible teaches me He begged to see forgetfulness. And my Bible also teaches me we ought to be like Him. If there's something in the past, y'all let go of it, y'all bury it in that old sea, and just throw it behind your back not to bring it up no more. God ain't never going to bring my sin up no more. He's forgiven me. And boy, well, Bible says, Brother David, He created us in His own image. We'll be just like Him. We'll be willing to take these things and bury them. Just so, I don't care if it's yesterday. Y'all bury it. Probably more than likely after what I went through these past 2 weeks, some of you that's been here has probably went through similar things. I don't doubt that at all. I don't doubt a lot of y'all struggle the past couple of weeks. That's probably been things that's come up inside of you, and I'm sure the devil's built them up and piled them up and got you angry at one another because he wants you to be divided in this class. Amen. That's the enemy. There's probably some of y'all that just got here by the skin of your teeth. You probably just barely didn't make it. I don't doubt that whatsoever. You know what? And I'm going to be honest with you. I was feeling sorry for myself this morning about all the folks that wouldn't come in. You know, and I finally realized something. I told old myself, I had to tell Brother David a while ago, sure didn't make me feel better. You know what? You know who's here? Who God wanted to be here. And I ain't throw off on nobody else. There's folks that couldn't help it. There's folks that had to work. There's folks that asked for copies of tapes, and I know that. But let me tell you something. If somebody had showed up here and God didn't intend them to be here, they'd ruin this thing. You know what? God's going to bless each and every one of your sacrifice for being here. God knows who's going to be here. Let me just go ahead and warn you. He's going to turn you upside down. I say that boldly in the devil's face. Amen. I know I'm nothing. I know there's nothing special about me, but God's going to take this thing and change your marriage. He's going to turn you upside down. He's going to change you, and He's going to help you today. God is going to do a great work in this place today. And the lives of some people in this place today. You might as well get ready. Amen. We need to haul off this junk, pile up, burn it. We're going to have to build fresh materials. Suppressed anger, y'all. We got to get rid of that old suppressed anger. Lord of mercy, here's another one. It's a biggie. I believe it's the biggie of the biggest. I don't know why I didn't put it number one. It's number two. That's a selfish attitude. First of all, suppressed anger's got to go. The next thing that's got to go is selfish attitude. A lot of you don't even realize yet you're selfish. You will, because God eventually show you that. You know how you know when you're selfish? When you care more about your feelings than do your husbands or your wives. That's right. You know why you won't forgive your husband? You know why you won't forgive your wife? Because you're selfish. Because you care more about your feelings than you do theirs. You know what a fix 99.9999% of the problems in your home is if you'll lose that selfish attitude. That's what it's all about. Anytime I have a problem with Vicki, it's because I'm selfish. It's because I don't put her before me, which I should, amen. You know, my Bible even teaches me I ought to put all you before I do myself. The Bible says that you ought to prefer your brother. Amen. Well, look what Christ did, the great example. I mean, Christ didn't prefer himself. He preferred the whole world. Christ preferred Charles Manson. Christ died for everybody. He died for the Hitlers. He died for all those, for the child abusers. He died for every one of them. In other words, he was not selfish whatsoever. We need to lose our selfish attitudes. You say, Brother Dennis, I know I'm selfish. Ain't nothing I can do about it. Yeah, there is. You pray about it, amen. You ought to pray about your selfish attitudes. You need to get on your knees. My Bible teaches me that you have not because you ask not. You say, I'm selfish and can't help it. Why don't you go to praying about it? Go to that altar every day and say, Lord, I'm going to meet you here every day until you change this thing about me. I'm selfish and I need to get rid of it. Lord, help me. Selfish attitudes. Not only that, but a slothful advance. I had to have something with the S and A, amen. I'll explain that to you in a minute. All y'all country folks like me. A slothful advance. In other words, laziness. Laziness. You say, Brother Dennis, I'm not lazy. I work hard. That ain't what I'm talking about. How hard you work at your marriage. Do you know what? This probably gets everybody in this room, including the man standing right up here teaching you. If you're not going and working hard at your marriage as you was before you married right now, you're failing. A lot of you just work. Boy, you did everything. You put on your best clothes. You put on your best makeup. You put on your best cologne. And you couldn't wait to get over there and pick her up, fellas. Carry on that. You remember when it was like that? You ain't like that no more. You know why? You gotten lazy. You gotta work on a marriage. I don't care how old you get. I don't care if you get like me, about 90 pounds overweight. I don't care if you get some age on your hair, gets thick and thin, it gets gray. There still needs to be romance in that home. You still need to be working for each other just like you was before you were married. That's called laziness. You see what happens? We get married and us fellas, we real bad about this. We think we got it made then. We don't have to work at it anymore. That's called laziness. You need to pile that thing and burn it up. Get rid of that laziness. You need to work on this thing. Construction's costly. Next thing you need to do is you need to realize, I just said it, construction is costly. There's a price to pay, folks. It's going to cost you something. You know, first of all, I'd like to say for every young couple, one of the main topics of advice I give you, which is not really where I'm going on this subject, in Malachi chapter number 3, it teaches us that we ought to give a tithe. Tithe is a 10% of whatever God's blessed us with. A tithe is actually 10% of what we've gained. Anything you've gained, 10%. I know a lot of folks say, well, I had a fellow pay me with an old truck for doing a job. What's that truck worth? You ought to give a tenth of it to the storehouse, the Bible says. It teaches us, well, to lay it up in the storehouse where we'd be a blessing. Where folks can divide it and we can take care of each other. God's not going to bless you. It's going to cost you something, first of all. It is a commandment of God that you give a tenth of your income. Not only that, it says it's a commandment of God that we give offerings, which is over that amount. Amen? And you young couples, you will say, well, I can't afford not to tithe. I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to tithe. You need to learn how to give 10%. You say, well, Brother Dennis, when I get through paying all my bills and I get down, there's only 1% left. That's because you got it backwards. You say, but Lord of mercy, how am I going to pay that first? What if I run out the end? I can't pay this bill and that bill. God will bless you. Let me tell you something. God will bless you. God will take care of that. If you put Him first, I promise you He'll take care of you. You hear me? He'll take care of you if you'll put Him first. The Bible says to give of your first fruits. That means that first sector is what you do. That'll be the first bill you pay out when you get your paycheck, amen, is your tithe. So young couples and older couples alike, that's the thing you need to get down. This construction is going to cost you something, amen. And I ain't trying to preach for money, Lord of mercy. Now, you can't figure that out. God help you. You need to wake up a little bit. It's a costly thing. You need, listen, you know what you're going to have to do when you go to build a house too? You're going to have to stay within your budget. Oh, man. Boy, we're in a mess in this country right now because of that very subject. Y'all know that? Hell, you know, young couples, what minimum amount of income, just getting started out in life, they got 6,500 square foot homes. Amen. Boy, gotta have the best. We gotta start off as billionaires. We gotta have this and we gotta have that. And now they can't pay the payments. This market in this country is flooded with homes and these rich people are just licking their chops. I talked to one this week. Buying this stuff up dirt cheap. This one guy's getting richer and richer and richer. Oh, foreclosures. People that can't pay their bills. You better watch it that you don't get ahead of where God's got you. God got you in an income bracket for a reason. I don't know what that may be, but God's got you there. You need to stay within that. And you need to be careful about this thing. You need to stay within your budget. Brother Dennis, come on now. Philippians 4, chapter number 11 says, not that I speak of respect or want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. I mean, folks, this thing about life ain't about growing in finances and growing in treasures and growing in things. It's about growing in the grace of God. Be happy where God's got you. God's got you there for a reason. I used to, Lord have mercy, my dad did a lot of things right. There's some things he didn't do right, and I don't mean no disrespect to him. He always taught me, son, you need to try to get ahead. You need to stay ahead. Work extra hours. Do extra things. Go make extra deals. Try to get ahead in life. You know, I ain't ahead yet. 30 years later, I still ain't ahead. I think I'm fine if I figure this thing out. I ain't going to get no further where God wants me to be. Unless I destroy my home and destroy everybody around me trying to get there. You need to be happy where you're at. And enjoy the real things of life. The things are not going to perish. The things are not going to go away one day. Enjoy what God's given you, that precious wife and that precious husband. When you've been with them long enough and you realize that's the greatest thing that God gave you was that husband, that wife, to draw you together and keep you close to one another. You know, many of us think that our children are the most precious gift. No siree, you got that wrong. And you better get that thought notion back out of your head. The most precious thing you've got is your husband and your wife. Because I done got to that point now. I got two children right now that done grown up and left me. And I ain't no hard feelings about that. That's a part of life. That's the way it ought to be. But let me tell you something. If I'd have spent my whole life putting these children right here before I did my wife, where would I be right now? Glory to God. I thank God I've got my wife. You say, well, what do you mean? How do you need your wife? I'm going to give you a little bit of example. Well, we got plenty of time, man. We got the 4 o'clock. Hey, I like this. Yeah, man. I ain't got to look and say, well, best God, it's 15 till I got to wrap this thing up. We got all day long, glory to God. Last night, some of you know I'm the chaplain of the football team. I go speak a few minutes to these boys, give them a little scripture and pray with them for a football game. Of course, I love football. That's one reason I do it. Another reason I do it, because some of them boys, that's all they ever hear about the Lord, is that one little bitty few minutes on Friday night. That's it. That's all they hear. Last night, me and Vicky got in the car. We headed down football game. I said, you know what? I don't even know what scripture I'm going to use tonight. I got to come up with something. I'm sitting there thinking in my head. Then here Vicky pops up. She said, well, I've had a scripture on my heart all day. You know, before I had this teacher right here, I would say, well, bless God, I bet that's a good one. But you know what? I've already learned through my teaching. The Holy Ghost said, I didn't put nothing on your heart because I'll give you your other half of your brain to give you that thought for tonight. Sure it is. She said, what about that scripture that's been on my heart all day? Tell it, Vicky. I don't forget it. See there? Oh, this is a day that the Lord had made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. And she said that. I thought, Lord, I ain't got no pride. I don't care if I didn't come up with it. Half of me did. That's my half right there. You gave me. You blessed me with it. I don't care. I walked down there. The old coach got through doing his little talk, give a good one. I got out there in front of him. I said, I've got a thought on my mind. I quoted that scripture, son. I began to talk about the day the Lord made, how we all be glad and rejoice. And next thing I know, I was preaching for about 2 minutes. God lit it up like I ain't never have on Friday night. You know why God did that? To show me something. Why I can turn around and show you something. Some of you fellas think your wife don't know nothing. You're going to find out later on they're smarter than you are.
Got quiet there, didn't it? You're going to find out they're smarter than you are. That's right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. See, you don't like that, do you? You'll get it down after a while. It'll help you too, boy. You don't like that, do you? Hey, a lot of folks, there's a lot of men, when I'm teaching this, when I got to that one particular subject, if they could slip out and nobody know it, they'd go home. Be honest with you. You ever been sitting in a church service and you just want to get up and leave? I have. I have got up and left. My daddy was like that. If he ever went to a visiting church service and a man of God got it without God on him, or if he wasn't really a preacher, daddy'd say, let's go. We'd get up and leave. I don't know if I'll be that bold or not, but that's if you don't know where I got my boldness from, that's where it come from, my daddy. Amen. You know what? Proverbs 23:4 says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Labor not. Woo-wee. Labor not. Not. Labor not to be rich. You're not working to get rich. I tell you another thing. The bus, I lose a lot of folks right here. I don't care. Show me retirement in that book. All y'all's killing yourself for retirement. We really ain't going to retire until we drop dead. You know, I've got notes around this town. Men and women that I've watched grow up and get older, that's a little older than I am. And now they got to the age where they did the retirement thing at 62. You know what they're doing now? They got them a job. Bored to death. I've watched people just as healthy as they can be go on through life, retire, and 2 years they eat up with cancer and dead. I don't know. I ain't going to say or tell y'all not retire. I ain't going to do that, but I'm just saying words of that in the book. Bible says labor not to be rich. Y'all labor to make a living and be a blessing. Oh, Lord, I'm getting this down. Woo! Oh, man, I'm preaching to me this morning. It sure is helping me, amen. You know, I read this little statement. Lord mercy, I guess I'm really going against my grain right here. Brother Mike Hughes is going to love this. The Bible calls dad a curse and children a blessing. But you know what we do? We apply for a curse and reject blessings. Can I say that again? Because, oh, me. The Bible calls debt a curse and children a blessing. But you know what we do? We'll go out and apply for a curse and we'll reject blessings. Wow. That's a thought, ain't it? Bro Hugh, you writing that down with you in your class? Amen. Amen. Lord, that's just something to think about now. Maybe we ought not be focusing so much. And I know you got to work. Lord mercy. We shouldn't be a burden to our government. It ain't our government's place to take care of us. We ought not be a burden to our church if we don't have to. Amen. You know, I realize these times, church may have to help me one of these days. That's what it ought to be there for. It ought to be that way. But it ought not be because I'm stupid with my money. Amen. It ought not be that I went out there and borrowed more money than what I could pay back. And, you know, I'm not going to go into that thing about no debt at all because some of us done got a situation where we can't live that. And I realize that. If you got in there where you can't live that, you ought to be working to try to get to that. You ought to work hard towards it, but we can't. But boy, wouldn't it be nice if you could take every little young couple and line them up, brother, and teach them this before they get married, before they get in debt, before they ever get to that point. Amen. And all of a sudden they say, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to live low on the hog instead of high on the hog. We ain't going to get ahead of ourselves. We're going to have enough to fight, and we ain't going to let this money thing or finances be one of them. Wouldn't that be a blessing? My daddy had a word for that, a phrase for that. He said, son, you need to learn how to crawl before you walk. Most young couples today want to get straight up and walk. They want to start out having everything. They think they're supposed to get married and have what mom and daddy's got after 30 years. Don't work that way. You may think, unless you're just making a ton of money, it don't work that way. But on the average salary, I'd say in this area, it is not going to work that way. You got to find you a little hole in the wall place somewhere. Buy you a little old small cheap house. These young couples go out here and get on a market. You know what they do? They look at that 225 and up home. You know, there's a bunch of them out there for 60 and up. 60 to 100. But you know what? The pride won't let them have that. That don't look like mom and daddy's house. That don't look like that other couple I graduated with that One of them's a doctor, one of them's a lawyer, and they got a 250 house over there. Who cares what they got? You know what they got? You get you a $100,000 house and they get them a $300,000 house, you know what they got? They got $200,000 more dollars worth of problems. That's it. You know, the smaller the house you got, the smaller problems you got. Lord of God. I had 5 kids. I guess I needed most of our space, but I wish I'd have shrunk it down a little bit. Oh, I had to have, you know, when I built my house, I had to have what the latest style was. Oh, the cut roofs and the steep roofs and the dog houses. I'd have them old dog houses sitting on front. That's what everybody was building. I had to have everything that everybody else was building. Son, I wish it was just old flat, straight roof. Now, Brother Troy's got to come over and fix a ton of problems for me. I got some problems because of the way I cut my house up. Because I wanted to be fancy. And I wanted to be like everybody else was. Amen. And I ain't preaching none of y'all this morning. I'm preaching at Dennis. I'll be honest with you. I'm telling you about my mistakes that hurt me. I wish I had that old flat, straight roof now, Brother Troy. I probably wouldn't even have a leak nowhere. I got 2 or 3 leaks, and I got mold, and I got this, and I got that. Brother Troy's going to be a blessing, amen. He's going to help me out. Lord mercy. Biggie Jean, this thing never been this way. How many times, this is what, 6th, 7th time I've taught this? I don't think I've even hit none of my old notes. Amen. Brother Dave, I sure am glad you're here. I wonder why you're here. Now I know you're getting something fresh. Amen. Listen here. Another thing about a house, besides staying within your budget, this house ain't going to build itself. It takes work. It takes work. And another thing you're going to have, folks, you're going to have, like I said, you're going to have a permit. I left these pee points out. Let me go ahead and get them where I can dot every I. Amen. I'll get home, the devil say, you didn't even bring out your sub points. We see we got to have a permit, we got to have a preparation. That's tearing down the old structure. And we see a price. It's costly. And we're going to have to see this thing about persistence too. It takes hard work. You've got to stay after it to build this home we're talking about. And not only that, is you got to have a plan. And you got to have the right plan. Lord mercy, we didn't get started about 1:15, did we, brother? Amen. Now we want to look at the structure of this home. We got our plan. We got it all together. Y'all know what you got to do before you ever begin construction. And we want to look at the structure of this home. First of all, I don't know much about a house, but I know it's probably other things you got to do. But I do know this, that you got to have a foundation. And the foundation of this home we preaching about is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ our Lord. He's got to be the foundation of your home. He must be. Oh, Lord, it's got to be Him. It can't be based on anything else. You know what? It seems that it would be a lot easier for me to keep mine and Vicky's marriage together if I based mine and her marriage on the one that died for me, wouldn't it? You know, if it was just for me and her, if it was just for our parents, if it was just for our children, it might be easy for me just to give up. But thinking about that, it was built on the Lord Jesus Christ for Him that died for me. Boy, ain't it a whole lot easier to keep it together when that foundation is Jesus, our Lord? I'd say it would be. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 33. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 33. Now you can turn here because we're going to be here a little while. We'll even be here through the next section some. Amen. I almost forgot to use this water. I'm going to lose my voice, but I don't watch it. Ephesians chapter number 5. Let's read in verse number 21. Submitting yourselves one another in the fear of God. I want to read that verse first. And I want to say that people, marriage, a Christian marriage, should and is supposed to be something of intense beauty, love, and joy. Intense beauty, love, and joy. It's supposed to be a good thing. But when things happen and it comes our way and the enemy comes in and begins to torture us in our home, we turn it into something else. We got all these things that come in and draw us apart. This Christian home, a lot of us think that this is the marriage. You fall in love with one another, you're crazy about one another, you can't do without one another, so you get married. That's good. I'm marrying them because I love them. That's wrong. I'm staying with my husband, my wife, because I love them. Wrong again. Wrong again. That ain't about love. Marriage ain't about love. It ought to be love. It ought to have love. You ought to be in love. You ought to stay in love. You ought to work on staying in love. It ain't, you know, most folks think, well, they got this big old googly spaghetti leg feeling that first year or two, and then it's all over with. It ain't nothing but pain and misery work the rest of the time. That ain't what it's supposed to be. You can keep that feeling. It takes prayer. It takes focus and it takes hard work. You can keep that feeling. That feeling can keep on going from then on. They think it's all about love and it's all about these romantic gestures and flowers and gifts and these little natties, fellas, amen. We think it's all that, and then when time goes by, we forget about all that kind of thing. We lay all that stuff aside, and then you know what happens then? I ain't love no more. It ain't magical like it once was. I guess we might as well forget it. Wrong again. Marriage ain't about love. It's about commitment. Boy, I wish we could preach this to our young folks before they ever got married. It's about a commitment. I committed to Vicky to stay married to her. I didn't say, I'll take Vicky to be my wife until I fall out of love with her. I'll take Vicky to be my wife as long as she keeps looking young and pretty, which she still does, amen. I'll take Vicky to be my wife until she starts harping on me about everything and gets on my nerves. I'll take Vicky to be my wife until I just ain't got no feelings in my heart for her anymore. That ain't what it says. I took Vicky to be my wife no matter what, for better or worse, for rich or for poor. It don't make no difference. She's gonna be my wife. And I tell you, there's one biblical reason to bust up a marriage. One of them, and that is adultery. One biblical reason to bust up a marriage, and that's it. In other words, she stuck with me, she might as well make the best out of it. That's what me and her done figured out. And when you figure that thing out, son, you can have fun. Yeah. Marriage's supposed to be fun, not boring. Yeah. Not come home every evening to the same old person, the same old thing. Bless God, I'm tired of this mess. Ain't like it used to be no more. Yeah. It can be fun. You gotta make it fun. Yeah. It ain't gonna come natural. It's not gonna come automatically. You gotta work at it. Yeah. It requires a little work. That's the problem in the United States. No wonder we got so much divorce in this country. That's the way folks work at their job. They get a job and say, give me my paycheck. I'll show up here every day. No, son, you don't work. You'll be fired. You shouldn't have a good job. You shouldn't have the good thing if you're not going to work at it. And it's the same way in a home. If you don't work at it, the magic should be gone. You got to work at it constantly. Constantly. Lord of mercy, I ain't really going by the outline, but I'm going by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Woo! What happens, y'all know y'all heard this before. I've heard preachers use this title. It's a good title. What happens when married couple, what do they do when wedlock turns into dreadlock? It happens. All their little hopes for marriage have gone sour. Lord of mercy. Y'all ladies really gonna fall out with me right here, and that's okay. I mean, everybody got to write their opinion. I realize I ain't all right about it. I just hate this big old wedding thing. I know, man, 20-something, almost 30 years ago, people I grew up with school with, man spent $25,000 back in the late 70s on a wedding that lasted 2 weeks, the marriage. What if that man had put all the time he spent making that $25,000, what if he'd spent 10% of that time, or 10% of that money, to have that couple counseled? What if he'd invested in their marriage what he did in the wedding? We got it backwards. You see, we raise our little girls up and we carry them to weddings and we show them the candles and the lace and the beautiful things. And I try my best not to be sarcastic, Vicki. I'm trying so hard not to be sarcastic. I know girls or women like that thing. But let me tell you something. If we would invest as much thought in what the actual marriage is going to be like. I like to bust it, Brother David. I'm sorry. I like to show young couples that what it's really going to be like. It ain't going to be lace and candles all the time. Can be. You throw that in there, it makes it good. Amen. It does. It makes it good. But it ain't about that all the time. I tell you what. You know what I think an ideal marriage is? Brother David, we want to get married. What about when we break loose at 12:30 or 1, whenever you get done preaching, you just marry us right here in front of our congregation. And I'll invite my family down. Maybe at least they'll get some preaching, amen. Throw you up 2 candlesticks, put you up a couple of ferns, and have you a little dinner out back, glory to God, get married. Me and Vicki Jean got married at her mom and daddy's house. We didn't get married at church. I don't know what she spent on it. Vicki's won't put it together. I told her, do what you want to. I care less about all that mess. Now, I wasn't right then, folks. I've grown a lot since then. What I would have said is, what all do you want in this thing, honey? Let's just go get it, okay? But I didn't do that. Lord have mercy. I'm embarrassed, Vicki, a lot when we teach this thing. I called her up the night before we was getting married. She'd been doing all that working and getting the cake together and all this. We had a cake and just a few little things, you know. I didn't realize she was even mad at me. I called her up to be sweetie pie, you know. Last night we were not together. We was fixing to be married. And I wanted to give her a sweet little old speech. And I had some little thoughts lined up I was going to tell her. And I was going to be real romantic. She was all tore up and bent out of shape. I said, what's wrong with you? She said, why don't you have me do this? Why don't you? I don't remember where I was. About a long time ago. She just all tore up and bent out of shape with me. You know what she just tore up about? The preparations. I've seen weddings get to people so much that the mamas and the daddies and the brides, most time not the groom. Groom, you care less. They so bent out of shape they can't even enjoy a special occasion. It should be special. And whatever you need to take, make special. But you know what? If your mom and daddy ain't got the money to spare, don't make them spend a fortune on a wedding that's going to last 15 minutes and be over with. Focus on what's going to last for the rest of your lives until one of you dies. Amen. Lord have mercy, that really wasn't in here either. Listen, don't expect no magic formulas. Everything I teach won't work for you. There'll be some of this that will. Some of this will help some of you. Some of these things I'm going to be teaching today are going to help some of you. Every bit of it, some of you ain't going to be able to handle it. Don't try to grab everything I've got today and carry it home with you and go home tonight and say, now bless God, this is the way it is. It's what Brother Dennis said and it's going to start tonight. There ain't going to be no fancy formulas for fixing this, but God, the Holy Ghost, is going to give you some nuggets today. You carry them home with you. You take care of them, treasure, get them out every once in a while and use them. Amen. No magic formulas. Don't expect a sudden breakthrough that's going to change everything radically and permanently. And let me go ahead and get y'all ready for this. Husbands and wives both alike. After this teaching, I'm going to be honest with you, for most of you, it will get better. It really will. I'll have people come and tell me that. I've had them come and tell me, you know, when I go to churches from week after week after week, it's one of the most precious things that I see, and me and Vicki have seen this a lot. I've seen couples that would, one of them would sit on one end of the pew with 3 grandkids or 2 children in the middle, the other one sit on the other end, or one of them sit over here in the old man section, what we used to call when I was a kid in church. And by about the 3rd or 4th series, they're sitting together. That's a blessing. I didn't know this until I went to a church recently, and I won't call any names, but bless my heart. Vicki told me, there's this couple, older couple, older than me, believe it or not, they're older than me. I was walking up the sidewalk going in church when I was teaching this, holding hands. I said, wow, look at that. They holding hands, walking up the sidewalk, going to church. I said, that's pretty cool. Nearly a 60-year-old couple, I guess. And you know what? Vicki said, well, that ain't all. I talked to her daughter and said they were sleeping either in separate rooms. And now they've gotten in the same bedroom and same bed. What a blessing. So it can get better. You're going to have some things that's going to help you. And fellas, she's going to probably lighten things up for a little while. But she'll turn right back around and go back to her old ways. And ladies, your man's going to do that too. But let him grow and let her grow. Y'all going to take these things and reapply them all the time. And Vicky can't harp on me about what she hears. And I can't harp on her about what I hear. I'm going to have to harp on me about what I hear about me. I got to work at it. I've seen people like this before. I've hired people a lot. I've had several people that's worked for me. Logger, you ain't one of them. Nobody in here is one of them, okay? I've had them come in some first week, you think, my goodness, what an employee. Wow. Good gracious alive. I wish I'd had them a long time ago. Best employee I've ever had. Give it about a couple weeks. Start slacking. Coming in late. Work slacking. The job ain't quite as good. Dragging around, not getting it done on time. And that's the way we are about our homes too, you know. I appreciate a good employee that works hard all the time, wants it to be right all the time, shows up on time. And, you know, and that's the way, if we want to keep it, we can have joy in our marriage all the time. Do you know that? There's nowhere in that Word of God that tells me that you must have dreadful times in your marriage, but you're going to have to work. Work to enhance it. Lord, have mercy. We almost an hour into it, y'all. I tell you what I'll do. I'll just fall over. It don't matter if I get down on my outlines or what parts of my head. I'm going to follow the Holy Ghost. You got to work at it. Listen, it's going to require effort. It's going to require something that's something hard for all of us, especially me, to come by, and that's humility. You're going to have to learn humility if you're going to get along in a marriage. You, both of you. Especially the one of you that's headstrong. Most time God's going to put one together that's going to be kind of calm and easy going. The other one's going to be a handful. You that's the handful, you got to get this thing humility down. That's a big old pill, son. I couldn't swallow a pill. I couldn't swallow a little Advil until I was about 25, 30 years old. My throat, I clear my throat constantly. I got a little old bitty throat for some reason. I still can't stand swallowing one of them big old horse pills. But son, this thing's about that big. It's about like a baseball or a softball getting it down. For me to have humility is tough. Lord humbled me down this morning. You know what? I knew it was going to be all right, Brother David, because I squalled so much this morning my eyes was about shut. God had me broken. And I said, Lord, I know you can use me now because I'm broken. It's going to require humility. A deep commitment. Not a light commitment. It's got to be deep. You know, Brother Ken's got such a great saying. He says, for you to stay married, you're going to have to care more about being together than you are about being apart. You got to want to be together. It requires a deep commitment. You got to say, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to stick this thing out. I ain't a giving up. I ain't walking away. I ain't going to give up on this thing. It's a commitment. You got to remember you made that commitment to God. You got to have a willingness to do everything God's way. You know, there's certain requirements and guidelines laid out in the Bible that'll make a difference in our marriage. I tell you what I'm going to do. Brother Mike, in just a minute, we're going to go ahead and break for a little bit. I feel like coming on. I feel like we need to take a break. So whenever you want to shut her down. I tell you what we're going to do right now. We're going to take a break. 5-10 minutes. And we're going to go. And I've kind of broken to another section right now. And we're going to move on to that. I'm going to rest just for a little bit. I got a little carried away in that first one. Amen. So everybody, if you would, you go ahead and stand your feet. And we'll shut her down for a few minutes and we'll come back. I don't want you to get, I know how it is to sit around. I'm up here moving around and stretching. Y'all ain't getting to. So we're going to take a break for about 5-10 minutes and be right back. Y'all go to the restroom, get you some water, whatever you need to do.